All right, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Keeling's Corner. This is going to be another interesting episode. Certainly another interesting episode, as there's a lot of work going on in the studio. So, you know, there's certainly a few interruptions. But yeah, don't worry. We're back at it. Mikey's not here today because of all the construction going on. It's hard to, you know, map out times where it works for the both of us because studio availability and everything that's going on right now. So, in the world of sports, we have a lot to unravel today. All right, we're going to be talking about the Juan Soto sweepstakes, the Yankees, the Mets, and maybe a surprise team that, you know, all of Major League Baseball might be overlooking that might be more aggressive in pursuing Juan Soto than, you know, we originally may have thought. We're going to break that down, and then we're going to talk about the Nets and the Knicks. They had a two-game series. The Nets lost in the final seconds after erasing a 21-point deficit in the fourth quarter. Jalen Brunson hit a big three to save the Knicks from embarrassment. And then the Nets just got, you know, pretty much blown out on Sunday in game two. But, yeah, so I'm a little angry with the Nets because they're supposed to be tanking for Cooper Flagg or Bailey or Harper. And, you know, they're a lot better than, you know, everybody may have thought. They could very well spoil their chances at getting Cooper Flagg or top three pick for that matter. So. But I am hearing rumors, though, that Cam Thomas is available, as the Nets, it's reporting that the Nets failed to reach an extension with Thomas, which is kind of interesting considering his age, considering the direction of the Nets, and considering his scoring ability. I would think that the Nets would want to lock him up. I mean, granted, he's a little bit of a liability on defense, but Cam Thomas, that guy can score with the best of you. I'm hearing that the Bucks are interested. Are the Bucks interested in moving Giannis and getting Cam Thomas as part of a deal? Probably not. They're probably looking to add Cam Thomas to, you know, the core that they have right now. But I'm a little confused as to what the Bucks would be able to give, because if I remember correctly, I feel like they traded a lot of first-round picks for Damian Lillard. So I'm not really sure, you know, what they could possibly offer the Nets. I mean, Mikal Bridges got five firsts and a swap from the Knicks. Granted, that was, you know, that'll go down as one of the biggest overpays in NBA history. But and because the Nets also got three players, one of them who they turned into Zaire Williamson, and the Nets are going to get something back for Bojan Bogdanovic once he gets healthy and, you know, the trade deadline comes around. So the Nets haul for Kevin Durant is going to be, you know, because if you factor all of it in, the Nets got Mikal Bridges, you know, in the Durant trade, and then they traded Bridges. And so when you break it all down, after the Nets finally move on from Cam Johnson, who's having a career year this year, they're going to move on from Cam Johnson, okay? They're going to move on from Mikal Bridges. They got 5 seconds for Crowder when he was, you know, included in that deal. They got 5 seconds actually from the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, it's going to be astronomical because you figure at least 3 first-round picks for Cam Johnson with the way he's playing right now. Is he worth 3 first-round picks? Probably not, but he's playing, you know, some really good basketball. So the Nets could wind up getting an insane amount back, you know, when it's all said and done for the Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, James Harden experiment. But yeah, we're going to break that down, and then we're going to talk a little Thursday night football. We're going to talk Steelers, Browns. We're going to recap the NFL this past week. Yeah, a lot of fun going on right now in the NFL. It seems like about 4 teams can, you know, make it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, maybe 5, and it seems like really only 1 out of the NFC can make it. I just don't see any team beating Detroit in Detroit. I mean, Detroit's just, they're a powerhouse. Maybe Philly, but I can't see Philly going into Detroit and coming out with a win in the playoffs. I just can't see it happening. The 49ers were a bust this year. The Packers, they're a good team, but if you ask me, their defense, it's a little flawed. Jordan Love, maybe a little overrated. Yeah, but we're going to break it all down here today. So, first things first. The Yankees and the Mets have both met with Juan Soto. The Mets are coming out of this whole thing feeling like they're the favorites. That seems like the consensus around the league. As Steve Cohen says, that he is willing to pay $50 million more than the highest bidder. So if it's about money, you have to figure Soto winds up with the Mets. If he doesn't wind up with the Mets, then he's going to where he wants to be. You got to figure that. I mean, Lindor was at the meeting. You got to figure Lindor and Vientos and you know, all those players, you know, their stars, their upcoming stars, are definitely going to play a role in signing Soto. Soto wants to win. He said that. But the Yankees, they had a pretty good meeting with Soto, apparently. Steinbrenner coming out now and saying, is Steinbrenner walking back on his comments about what he said last year when the payroll, you know, it's not feasible to continue to have this year after year after year, because Steinbrenner came out and said, we have the capability to sign any player that we want. So, Steinbrenner, Hal, if you're telling me that, there is no reason Soto shouldn't be a Yankee next year. Soto needs to be a Yankee, Christian Walker needs to be a Yankee, and the Yankees need Tanner Scott. Okay, you can't sign Soto and leave the team the way it is because you have holes at third and you have holes at first. Okay, if you go into next year with your outfield looking like Dominguez in left, Judge in center, Soto in right, DH Giancarlo, and your infield right now, there's a hole at first base and there's a hole at third base because Gleyber Torres is gone, Jazz is at second, Volpe's at short. Okay, and your catching position is, you know, it is what it is with Austin Wells. You need something. you need power from those two positions, first and third base. And the Yankees haven't gotten power from their corner positions in quite frankly a very, very long time. And it's part of the reason why they haven't been back to, you know, the World Series. Besides for this past year, you know, Soto and Judge and Gleyber kind of, you know, in the regular season kind of led the way. Gleyber was great in the leadoff spot, even though, you know, it's going to be sad to see Gleyber go because, you know, he feels like a Yankee, but he's going to go. He's going to go to a team. I bet you he winds up back with the Cubs. If I had to guess where Gleyber Torres is going to wind up, it's going to be back in Chicago. And he'll hit 25 homers a year, knocking 90 runs, and probably hit 270, 260. So that's where, and he'll have a solid career. He's just not a Yankee anymore. That's just where it is. We have Jazz Chisholm, who has a lot of holes in his bat, but you know what? He's fast and he brings some energy to the team. So where do the Yankees go after Juan Soto finally decides where he's going to be? It is inexcusable for the Yankees to not get Juan Soto and not get all three of Christian Walker, Anthony Santander, and a guy like Alex Bregman or Tanner Scott or Corbin Burns or Max Fried. The Yankees need three major players if they do not get Juan Soto. Okay, Walker's 34. If the Mets get Soto, right? If Soto decides to become a Met, okay, you need to go get Pete Alonso. You need to go get Alex Bregman. You need to go get Max Fried. Okay, you need to bring in those three guys to make up for that loss. Okay, and quite frankly, the Yankees might be better if you let Soto walk. All right, hear me out. You let Soto walk, you bring in Alonso, you put him at third, you bring in Bregman, who's been in the big game before, many times, beaten us many times, but besides the point. Put him at third, and you bring in a guy like Max Fried, and you bring in Tanner Scott, the Yankees might be better. Because you could try and bring up Spencer Jones and see what he is. You know, you made him unavailable in trade talks for the past 2 years. All right, bring him up, put him in center, put Dominguez in left, put Judge back at his position in right, and who knows, you might just have a nice young nucleus coming up through the organization the right way with a couple of, you know, veterans who aren't even that old. Alonso's like 30, 31. Bregman's 30, 31, 32. He's somewhere around that age, not 36. And yeah, you go from there. You know, that could be the smart move. If you told me that Soto was leaving and you were bringing in those guys, I'd be upset because Soto's leaving and he's 25, but you know, I couldn't argue with the direction that the Yankees would be going in. I mean, that'd be pretty good. As for the Mets, I think the Mets need a little bit more than Soto. The Mets desperately need a starting pitcher. It's been like that, you know, since they tried to get Verlander and Scherzer. But they desperately need a starting pitcher. They need to go get Burns or Fried or somebody, an ace somewhere along the line there. You know, if they want Rodon from the Yanks, I'll gladly give him to you. But yeah, I'm not too sure, you know, when things are going to start happening. Soto kind of put a deadline of the winter meetings. You know, that's kind of like the time frame that, you know, he put on, you know, when he's going to sign. But as a Yankee fan, this is going to pain me to say because I would be very aggravated if this was the outcome of the Juan Soto sweepstakes. There is a team by the name of the Boston Red Sox who are supposedly a lot more aggressive than everybody originally thought in, you know, pursuing Juan Soto. If Juan Soto and Rafael Devers are on the same team in Boston, the Red Sox are going to be dangerous. They just are. They're going to be dangerous. I mean, those two lefties, you know, playing especially smart lefties. Like, Soto knows how to hit for contact. He can go the other way. You know, Soto and Devers will kill the Yankees in Yankee Stadium for the next decade, literally for more than the next decade, because they're both young. So that would be absolutely devastating. You know, if he wants to go to Toronto, God bless him. You know, and that's another guy in Toronto, Vlad Guerrero, another guy the Mets, you know, might be interested in, another guy the Yankees might be interested in. I would take Vlad Guerrero, absolutely. Vlad Guerrero's a stud. If you said we were losing out on Soto and we were going to get Vlad Guerrero, all right. You know, I could stomach it a little bit more. Yeah, so hopefully, you know, by the time, maybe next week, maybe the week after that, maybe we'll have an answer on Soto by one of those episodes, but at this current particular time, we do not. So, that being said, let's walk into Cleveland for tonight's game, Steelers-Browns. I have a bad feeling about this game. I'm a little confused about... I'm a little confused with how the line is 3.5. Granted, it is a divisional game. Granted, it is in Cleveland. The weather is supposedly not very good. It's supposed to snow during the game. That's what they're saying. You know, hopefully the weatherman, the weather people, hopefully they're wrong, because I want to see Russell Wilson throw the ball. I want to continue to be sold. You know, 6 field goals last week. Okay, you beat Baltimore, but it was 6 field goals. Okay. They're a top 5 team right now in the NFL. And to be honest with you, they're probably number 3 in the AFC. It's Kansas City and Buffalo, however you want to put them at 1-2. And then you could argue that the Steelers are, you know, that team right after them in the AFC. They beat Baltimore. That was another team that you could have argued. Houston is, you know, kind of depleted and, you know, maybe a little overrated. There's not really many other teams, you know, that would be contesting with the Steelers for that third spot. Yeah, I mean, the NFL right now, where it sits, it's fun because it feels like there's 5 or 6 teams that can win, but they're all in the AFC. You know, they're all in the AFC because of how powerful Detroit is. Detroit just feels like a powerhouse that just won't be stopped and can't be stopped. You know, even in a game where Jared Goff throws 5 interceptions, they still find a way to win. That's amazing. You know, I want to get to the Jets, and I want to talk about how Aaron Rodgers is ruining his legacy, okay? Because Joe Douglas, okay, and Robert Saleh, they did not deserve to be fired, okay? If we're being real, Robert Saleh took a Zach Wilson-led offense. Granted, it didn't look good, but Robert Saleh is a defensive-minded coach, okay? That defense last year was awesome. That defense for the first 3-4 weeks before he got fired was very, very good. Okay, it wasn't what it was last year, but it was very, very good. Okay, so you fire Saleh, you bring in Adams, okay? The offense still looks anemic, and the defense is atrocious now. I think they've won 1 game since he's gotten fired, which is nuts, because Rodgers just continues to have scapegoat after scapegoat after scapegoat, and Aaron Rodgers is done with the Jets. I wouldn't be surprised if after this week, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play another game for them, ever. I wouldn't be surprised if Aaron Rodgers never played another game in his career. I mean, what team is going to want him? What situation fits Aaron Rodgers right now? Every top team right now that's contending to win a Super Bowl has their quarterback, has a younger quarterback. You know, what is he going to go to the Raiders and do what? Be worse than the Jets. He's going to go to the Raiders and he's going to be worse than the Jets. And, you know, quite frankly, you know, Tampa, no, they have Baker. Minnesota, no, they have 2 young guys. Pittsburgh, I mean, could he wind up in Pittsburgh? Never say never, but, I mean, I could see it happening. I would be very disappointed if it did. I could see it happening, but I'd be very disappointed. The Giants, maybe, as a bridge? I don't know. Does that make the Giants better? Maybe. If you put, I mean, the Giants have a lot of close losses this year. If you put Aaron Rodgers in there instead of Daniel Jones, who knows? So the Giants could be an option. But I think the Giants are going to wind up with Shedeur Sanders, and I think they're going to wind up with potentially Deion Sanders as the coach. You know, the Giants are a disgrace right now. You know, starting Tommy DeVito at quarterback. I mean, the Jets are 1-5 in their last six games. The Giants are not much better, but if you flip-flop the quarterbacks, I actually think each team has more wins than that, which is kind of nuts. I think if you put Jones on the Jets and you put Rodgers on the Giants, I actually think they each would each team would have more wins, truthfully. Yeah, but I'm going to wrap up the NFL talk until I get to my picks. Want to get down to I want to start breaking down, you know, some NBA. The NBA, as far as I'm concerned, is no longer star-studded. And what I mean by that is the days of LeBron and the days of Durant and the days of Curry, just, you know, stepping out on the floor and winning a basketball game each and every night, you know, that's gone, okay? I think the Nets are a prime example of that, okay? I think the Hawks are a prime example of that. The Pistons are certainly a prime example of that. The Heat have always been a prime example of that after the LeBron era. The Magic are a prime example of that. I mean, I'm listing off teams, all teams that are in the playoffs right now that don't have a superstar, like a legitimate superstar, that don't have, you know, a Tatum or a Jokic or a Doncic. I mean, if we look at the top of the Western Conference, you know, you got the Warriors. Okay, they have Curry, but they have a good team. And they also have a great coach. The Thunder. The Thunder have Shai. They have Jalen Williams. They have Chet, who's, you know, hurt right now. But they built a solid team, you know, around their young star. He's not a superstar. Could he be an MVP of the league? Sure. But that's because he's on a great team, and he fits that system. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Rockets. The Rockets don't have a superstar. The Rockets are rolling around with Fred VanVleet, Jabari Smith, Jalen Green, Alperen Sengun. You know, they're just a solid team, you know, and then you got the Nuggets, they have Jokic, you know, so they're all, but they don't just have Jokic. The Nuggets have a really good basketball team. The Timberwolves, is Anthony Edwards that superstar? I mean, he's good, you know, he's probably considered by most a superstar, and they're 8-6. Okay, the Suns are 9-7, the Clippers have one guy, James Harden. But they filled out a nice team around him. Memphis, they're better without John Morant sometimes. The Kings went fully healthier in my sleeper team to make a finals run. The Kings have all the pieces you could possibly need, and quite frankly, they have my favorite player in the NBA, De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is an absolute stud, okay? The way that this Sacramento Kings team is built, okay, you have DeRozan. You have Sabonis. DeRozan is as clutch as they get, okay? Same with Fox. So they have two very, very clutch guys, okay? DeRozan's mid-range game is one of the best in NBA in NBA history. You know, and De'Aaron Fox is a young 26-year-old who's, you know, up and coming as, you know, a top three-point guard in basketball, and he's an elite defender. So it's pretty remarkable that, you know, they were able to put together De'Aaron Fox, Domantas Sabonis, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Huerter, Murray, and Keon Ellis. I mean, those guys, even Doug McDermott, he's a very valuable piece to this team. You know, the Kings are my sleeper pick. Luka Doncic is now out for the next week. Dallas won a game without him already, I believe. You know, the Spurs have won Wembanyama. Even Portland. Portland has six wins. Portland has six wins, and they don't have any stars. They're a young team. They're competitive. Okay, I mean, they're starting Scoot Henderson. They're starting Sharp. I mean, these guys, Jeremy Grant, he's just a solid veteran. But guys like Tuamani Kamara and Donovan Klinging, who's their rookie, you know, they're pretty solid core pieces, but, you know, they're missing that star. And they're going to wind up doing very well in the Damian Lillard trade because clearly Damian Lillard is running out of that magic. He's running out of that magic. Yeah, so the Pacers are a little bit more disappointing than I originally thought. The Bucks certainly are, you know, more disappointing than everybody originally thought, but they're turning it around. The Hornets and LaMelo Ball, they're pretty interesting. They got a solid team with Miles Bridges. The Bulls will probably wind up blowing it up. You could say goodbye to Zach LaVine. I bet you Zach LaVine ends up with the Lakers. I don't know how. I don't know how he would get there. I don't know what the Lakers have to trade. I know they don't have a lot of first-round picks. You know, they got the one in 2029. Okay, but I bet you somehow, some way, Zach LaVine winds up with the Lakers. like I said, I couldn't give you a mock trade right now off the top of my head because I don't know where they're going to come up with it from. It would probably have to be three teams somehow, and I would assume that Dalton Kennett would be involved somehow, maybe even D'Angelo Russell. But I guarantee you that, you know, if LaVine gets traded, the Lakers are going to be in on it. All right, so taking a deep breath here and analyzing everything that we just went over, I realized that for a little bit, I want to talk about college football and the rankings that just came out on Tuesday. It's certainly a head-scratcher on how the committee is going to have to put together, you know, teams for this college football playoff, because you could have Texas lose to Texas A&M, okay, in the SEC championship game potentially as well, because they play not in the SEC championship game. They play the last week of the season, Texas versus Texas A&M. And if Texas A&M beats Texas, they both have two losses, but you're really going to knock Texas out from sitting at number three right now. And you also have a team like Indiana. Indiana's going to lose to Ohio State, at least I think. You know, if they get obliterated, they're going to be out. Notre Dame's going to wind up sitting at number five. So Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, okay? And they were on the outs. They were on the outs. That was it. Everyone thought, okay, it's probably over for them, you know, considering their strength of schedule and all of that. But Notre Dame started dominating every team that they played. And they have a big game against Army this week. I mean, you can call it a big game. It's a 14.5-point spread. Notre Dame should dominate. They should dominate that game. Alabama's going to wind up getting in. Miami's going to probably wind up getting in with one loss, unless they lose two. If Miami loses two games, they're out. You can count them out. But Boise State is going to wind up, you know, getting in. Yeah, at least they should, because if they, you know, they're going to win their conference, and they should be the team that winds up getting in. But, you know, if Texas A&M beats Texas and you have all these teams, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, you know, all these teams that wound up beating up on each other, it's going to be very hard for the committee to pick, you know, which teams to keep out. All right. So I'm going to jump right into my NFL picks. Okay. We're going to break it down from top to bottom, starting with Thursday Night Football, Steelers, Browns. I'm a fan, so I'm going to take the Steelers. Wouldn't be surprised if the Browns won. This could be your typical letdown game in between, you know, coming after two huge wins on the road in Washington and then at home against Baltimore. It could absolutely be a letdown game, but I do think Pittsburgh is the better team. In the snow, they will pull it out. And you have the Buccaneers and the Giants taking the Bucs. Lions, Colts. This is an interesting game. It's an interesting game because in Indianapolis and Anthony Richardson looked awesome last week, but Detroit's probably going to wind up blowing them out, so I'm going to go Detroit. Titans, Texans. You know, this is a tough one. It's a divisional game. It's tough because Tennessee has a solid defense. Houston's a little banged up. Houston at home is going to wind up coming away with that one. Miami, New England, not even going to waste time on it. I think Miami wins and they keep their streak going. Dallas, Washington. I'm going to say Washington blows them out. Vikings, Bears. Gonna take it's in Chicago. I'm gonna take the Bears actually. I'm gonna say the Bears wind up beating the Vikings in Chicago at home. Chiefs, Panthers, take the Chiefs on the road. Broncos, Raiders, I'm gonna have to roll with the Broncos in this one, even though it is a divisional game. I do expect the Vegas to cover. And you have the Cardinals and the Seahawks. I'm gonna say the Seahawks win at home against Arizona. Then the 49ers, Packers. I'm gonna take the 49ers. I'm gonna say the 49ers walk into Green Bay and leave with a W. The Eagles and Rams. I'm taking the Rams at home, Sunday Night Football. And then Monday Night Football, Ravens, Chargers in L.A. I'm going to say the Chargers pull off the upset as three-point dogs at home. All right. Well, trust me when I say this, this has certainly been an interesting episode of Keeling's Corner with everything that happened prior to the recording of this episode. Trust me, very interesting. Hopefully next week, you know, Mikey's back with us and we can give you more of a typical Keeling's Corner episode. But all right, until then, go Steelers, go anybody who's playing the Nets, and Soto, come back to the Bronx, baby. We need you. All right. Thanks for another great episode, everybody. Thanks for listening. Keeling's Corner, out.